Hi there. How do you like my hat? It's been weeks since I could get a haircut. Then I tried trimming it myself, which only made it worse. Getting ready for today, I said to myself, maybe I should wear a hat. Then I looked up and behold, there languishing on a shelf amongst my vestments ever since I retired from my parish in 2005, was this Beretta. It's a churchy form of the academic mortarboard, or cap. I used to wear it on special occasions in my parish in Western New York. And then I thought, today we're honoring our graduates, so why don't I wear that in their honor? You who are older, especially former Roman Catholics, may remember them, as they were more commonly worn in the Roman Church than in the Episcopal Church, mostly in more high church parishes like the St. Peter's up the road here. I don't think they are much worn by anyone nowadays. On second thought, maybe my tattered locks and bald head would be less distracting. So graduates, I tip my hat to you with prayers and blessings for a prosperous and wonderful future. In the name of our one true God, the Trinity and infinite being, the unity of infinite love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. While I was in General Seminary in downtown Manhattan, we were required to take an assignment off campus each Sunday when school was in session, usually at a church within a reasonable distance. One day, a fellow student complained to me that he'd never been asked to preach at the parish he was serving, which had a number of clergy on staff. I replied, "Well, don't worry, Charlie. Trinity Sunday's coming up in a few weeks. You'll probably be scheduled to preach then." And guess what? My prediction came true. I know from personal experience that many clergy hesitate to take up such a complicated and often confusing subject for a sermon. And of course, there is also the idea that some smarty pants may delight in accusing you of being a heretic. Oh well, at my advanced age, I can always claim senility. And yes, I do know that for some of us, that joke is not so funny. Karl Barth, one of the great Protestant theologians and writers of the 20th century, was once asked, "Dr. Barth, what is the most profound statement of the Christian faith that you can think of?" After a slight pause, Dr. Barth replied with the words of a hymn written for children by Anna Bartlett Warner a century earlier. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Christianity is a faith so complicated that it challenges and inspires the most deeply gifted and great theological thinkers and writers who have written volumes and volumes of treatises and dogmatic theories, and yet so simple that a mere child can tell you the substance of it. Many of you know, or at least familiar with, our own presiding bishop, Michael Curry. Just the other day on MSNBC, I heard him say something I'd heard him say before, but this I was now hearing in a new way. I will conflate it a bit while trying not to alter his meaning. Either we will learn to live together in love as brothers and sisters, he said, or we will perish together as in selfishness. The opposite of love, he said, is not hate. It's the opposite of love is selfishness. Yes, that well-known and much-beloved children's hymn, "Jesus Loves Me," summarizes the one essential foundation of the Christian faith. Love is most often thought of as an emotion, but more than that, it is the opposite of selfishness, as the bishop says. That wonderful, tender emotions, those wonderful and tender emotions which we think of as love, are more the result of infatuations which may or may not lead us into genuine love, rather than being the thing itself. In God, the Holy Trinity, all of the meaning of the word love is laid open for us to ponder and seek to understand. Yes, God is one God, but in that oneness, God is family. A family so united in infinite love that they are indeed one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, three selves, eternally united, one God. You and I were created to become members of that divine family, not to be absorbed or to lose our personal identity in it, but to be wrapped in that eternal and perfect love, that love which calls us to become the wonderful, whole, and perfect people we were created to be, our eternal selves. Through Jesus Christ and through his incarnation, life, death, and sacrifice, we are called to be wrapped in that family of love and unity. In our present pandemic, Bishop Curry suggested that we have a time now when we consider love, and we consider it as a heart, and I've dropped my mask here. Okay, let me start that. In our present pandemic, Bishop Curry suggests to us a new symbol for our love. The heart is the traditional symbol of the emotion we call love, and that's fine. But for now, this might serve to be an even more relevant symbol appropriate to today. When we put it on, we wear it to show our desire to love and protect each other. When we put on the mask for the sake of others and ourselves, we may have a new sign and a new symbol, a new way of saying, I love you. God has a dream that one day we may all be fully and completely joined together with that family we call God. Love is the creative power behind all of the universe. Love is the only real and ultimate and infinite power that exists. And God does not seek to diminish or absorb our individuality, but to fulfill and perfect it. God, our Creator, calls us all to be at one with them. God, our Redeemer, calls us all to be at one with them. God, the Holy Spirit, calls us all to be at one with them. You notice how we use the word them. God calls us all to be at one with each other and with them, an appropriate pronoun when referring to the Holy Trinity. Our singular pronouns do not really fit the reality of God. I was raised to think of God as Father, and so that is my comfort zone. Others may just as legitimately think of God as Mother. But in God, the Holy Trinity, the personal pronouns he and she are limited to our earthly notions of gender, roles, and biological reproduction. God calls us to rise above all our too limited ways of thinking about each other. The call from God to you and to me and to all humankind is to become, and with each other, through God's grace, full members of that family which loves and lives to serve each other. God calls us into the Holy Family through the outpouring of grace he gives with his only begotten Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, where the only pronoun we shall need is that life-giving and love-affirming pronoun, we. We limit not the truth of God to our poor reach of mind, to notions of our day and place, crude, partial, and confined. No, let a new and better hope within our hearts be stirred. The Lord has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word. Who dares to bind to one's own sense the oracles of heaven? For all the nations, tongues, and climes, and all the ages given, that universe, how much unknown, the ocean unexplored, the Lord has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word. O Father, Son, and Spirit, send us increase from above. Enlarge, expand all living souls to comprehend your love. And make us all who want to know, with nobler powers conferred, the Lord has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word. Hymn 629. May God bless us and keep us. May he keep us safe, keep us in love, and keep us on the path on which we are led to Jesus the Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. In the holy name of the one God who is the Holy Family of unconditional love and all healing, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Fellowship be with all of you. Amen.